Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Adams, Haxby, Lytle, Dorn, Juergens, and Claybaugh. Consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held February 4th, 2026. Approve all claims through February 18th, 2026 in the amount of $596,798.76. Accept claim number 260200189 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $10.77 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve specs and call for bids for fertilizer, mowing, bagging, trimming, and blowing of clippings for the Gage County Courthouse, Sheriff Department, Evidence Building, Triplex, and Parking Lot Parkways for 2026 and 2027. Bids to be opened on March 4th, 2026 at 9:30 a.m. Approve specs and call for bids on 2026 box culvert projects C34-1268 and C34-1271. Bids to be opened on March 18th at 9:30 a.m. These are round 9 bridge match. Culverts, approve specs and call for bids on 2026 armor coating to be opened on March 18th at 9:45 a.m.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. On the regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 260200189 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $10.77. This brings the total amount of claims paid through February 18th, 2026 to $596,809.53.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Claybaugh, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Any comments from the public and requests for future agenda items? These are comments on any matter, not on this agenda. However, no board action can be taken until the following board meeting unless the board declares it an emergency. Anyone from the public? Yep, come on up. If you could please push. We can bring it back up.
Yes, I'm here to complain again about the truck drivers there. My name's Daryl Janda. I live there on Highway 43. I've been here before. I've been dealing with the city about this, and they tell me now they don't have any jurisdiction out there. And I'm wondering why all you people, Sheldon and everybody with the DOT and all these people, can't get together and establish some kind of special ordinance just around that ethanol plant because of the truck traffic. Either that or the county needs to initiate an ordinance for a sign. Because I've kind of stalled out with the city now. They tell me that they don't have any jurisdiction there. They've been telling me the last 17 years they do. Now they tell me they don't.
And this is a public comment. So Amanda, I think, will hit me if we have any discussions here back and forth. But we have discussed, and we will address it probably later in committee reports. Do you have anything else for us? We can't discuss back and forth during public comment.
Well, I was saying I'm here at the wrong time, or what?
No, we will bring it back up in Road and Bridge, but we can't discuss back and forth during public comment.
Oh, after a bit, you'll bring it back up? I'm sorry.
During committee meetings or reports, we'll address it because we did discuss it at our last committee meeting.
All right.
Thank you. Anybody else have any public comment? All right. Seeing none, we're going to go into committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights. Eddie?
Dave's here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We do have the bidding for the lawn mowing. There were no changes in the bid spec, so we'll have the bid sheets in the clerk's office. I'll get a hold of several people, too, to make sure everybody knows. Kat came down and serviced the generators at both the courthouse and the sheriff's office, Everything looked good. They will have to make a return visit to the courthouse and replace a court heater and flush out the radiator yet. Fire alarm, we had the full testing on that earlier this week, and everything was fine with that. Dishwasher out at the detention center kitchen had a meltdown, and the cost is pretty expensive to repair, so it was our recommendation to get bids to replace it. And then something fun to talk about is winter lights. We had a meeting and would like the board's blessing on this is something new. They have the funds and they'd like to do something special for the semi-quincentennial this year. And that would be turning on the winter lights on the building. This would happen like during homestead days through the 4th of July. Decorate the big tree. We call it the JT tree, red, white, and blue. Possibly rent the tree that is usually down at Charles Park in the wintertime and have that one red, white, and blue on the west side. Talk to Alex Eckhoff about doing a lighting display to do something with the cannon on the south side. So we're checking on that. And then Envision would also plant a red, white, and blue flower bed on the south side. And then, as like I said, these would be from homestead days and then run through the 4th of July. And then at the from the 1st to the 6th of July, I talked to Kyle Mick, the veterans officer, and we would put the flags up from the 1st of July through the 6th. So if that's okay with the board, we'd like to dress up the courthouse for this.
I think that's a great opportunity. It's the 250th and Winter Lights. It's a great program, great funding source. Community members come together and make something awesome happen for lighting up the courthouse.
I didn't really catch whose idea it was. You know, we're always just geared towards winter lights. And one of the members thought, you know, brought that up, and we all thought that is a cool idea to show off the courthouse. So
might start it on the 250th, but everybody will really like it. It might be an annual thing.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
I like the red, white, and blue.
Yep.
Yes. And then the last thing, I did talk to Monty Merkel, and for Down Syndrome Day, he is planning, that's March 21st, he's going to get some reflective signing, and it would be just on a few windows on the south side. We've always had trouble trying to turn the courthouse blue for that, and so he's just going to get some signage to put up that would reflect the light better.
March 18th would be the meeting prior. Is he? Do you want to find out if he's going to come in so we can make sure he's on our agenda?
Yep, I can do that.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody have anything else for building and grounds? All right, equalization. Terry, do you have anything for equalization? I think you're the chair, aren't you?
Cool.
Okay,
cool.
I'm just checking. The valuations, the valuations are due March 19th. They'll be coming out soon, and then we'll be getting into the protest part. So that's, I guess, next on the list. Finance and insurance.
Large ticket items. Advanced correctional health care, jail, on-site medical, $10,972.83.
Hey, Terry, push your button.
Yes, boss. Applied Connective Technologies, IT services, sheriff equipment, $41,519.36. Cardinal Assessment Group, building permit, sales, ag reviews, $19,312.50. Washington County Sheriff, boarding inmates, $13,950. Sapp Brothers Petroleum, fuel, grease, propane, $11,764.70.
Anybody have anything else for finance and insurance? All right, human resources, employee relations. We will have a closed session at the end of the meeting. I don't think we have anything else. Law enforcement, emergency management. Lisa, Gus.
Sure. Uh-oh.
Rock, paper, scissors. Right. On who goes first?
Gus.
Good morning, everybody. Just to let everybody know, we do have planning and zoning meeting tomorrow night at 7 with a hearing planned at 7:15 for a commercial agricultural business. That commercial agricultural business will be in Nemaha Township, Section 24, just along Highway 41. So it's commercial, again, commercial agricultural business, seed and fertilizer is what it is. So, but yes, we will continue conversation about livestock regulations. At the committee meeting, I handed you out a kind of some sheets of some research that was that I did with the help of others. Looking at various setbacks, you know, buffer zones and so forth at an eighth of a mile, quarter, and then a half a mile. And this was something that was requested by planning and zoning members just so they could visually get their eyes on when you take an address point, what a buffer zone looks like. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that that will help. We've got some bigger maps downstairs that we'll bring up tomorrow night. So, and then again, storm spotters training coming up next Thursday. So, that's all I have, madam.
Lisa, I just want to say thank you for these because, you know, I don't know if everybody realizes, you know, when you start talking half mile setbacks or quarter mile or whatever, it really kind of gives you a visual as to what spaces are or are not available when you start talking half mile, quarter mile, eighth mile.
That's a little disconceiving because those are setbacks to a non-participant. And so those circles can also be eliminated with a conversation with a neighbor. So it really opens up a lot more. What you see in that picture is just able to apply without talking to anybody rather than having a conversation. Yeah.
But the fact is that if you have a half mile setback with nobody signing off, this is your available space, and it's not very much. Yeah. So,
when I got to a half a mile, honestly, I quit because when the map started filling up, there was no need for me to go on further unless advised after planning and zoning meets, you know, to go one step further. So. Thanks.
But and Emily does make a good point.
Yep.
You know, with cooperation and talking with your neighbors and being neighborly, some of those things go away and spaces open up. But you know, from the first step, that's yep. a good visual for us to have.
Okay. I think that honestly, probably the best applications and facilities we have located are the ones that have worked with their neighbors.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So
for sure. I think you know, honestly, Lisa, for some people to come in and apply, I think this map would be very valuable for them to see and have that communication up front that, hey, you know, if you work with your neighbors and communicate and do things the right way, you know, this can be a hang up for you. Or if you work with people and do things the right way and everything else, it's not an issue.
I think it makes it easier in the long run, too, for all the other agricultural producers that want to do something. You have... Yeah. Bad actors, that way it makes it difficult for everyone else.
Yeah. So conversations for future. Thanks.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks, Lisa.
Gus, do you have anything for us?
Yes, he does.
I do?
Yes. So I know we're going to talk about it in Road and Bridge, but would you like to come up and chat a little bit about Daryl's concern out by Adams?
I talked to Gary about this. Apparently, he's going to be coming out of Adams and heading out south and Blacktop, people, the speed sign, they don't understand there's nothing, there are no postage posted of any signs. When they come out of Adams and directly right through the Goldcrest, it's 40 miles an hour. And after that, East Birch, I believe, is where it is. It starts and goes south at 55. If you've got a driver's license, you should know a hard surface, and that's a highway, should be 55. I put word out to my guys because somebody got a warning or citation for going at such a speed at 35 in that area, which I don't know where that came from. I got verified or not. But there's concern. I had a call. Gary had one. I know we talked before about it. There's no sign there, and it's confusing people. They like to have something posted so they know what speed limit is. Whether we do it or not, that's the only stretch of road I've ever had people complain about they know what speed limit is. I don't know why, unless it throws them coming out by Goldcrest, so it was 40, but apparently an issue for some. So,
Mark, would you want to come up because we did address that too?
I did speak with the village clerk of Adams yesterday. She is bringing it to their board about putting a village, in the village maintenance or something along that village city limit sign at those vicinities. I also have updated or sent a request to Google Maps to change that speed limit, because when you do drive that section of road, I believe several people have told me that Google Maps only shows it at 40 miles an hour. So I did send in a request to get that changed. I have not got confirmation on that yet.
We did also discuss putting the signs when it's coming in on a county road, beginning of village
maintenance or city
or limits. City limits of Adams, so that we have the names or whatever it is for each village.
I did check last Friday. Most of the blacktops do not have speed limit signs. The only one that I do know of is Apple Road going outside.
Well,
of
by statute, we don't have to. It's just
correct.
Just have
and that, I double checked all that. There was no statute. It was just a main concern. So we are hoping that a break of separation between village and county, where the blacktop would open up on speed, hopefully that city limit would make that change.
I think that would serve more purposes too. You could show, you know, by statute that then it would be changing speed limit in
correct.
Theory. Like, we don't have to go put speed limit signs everywhere. And the other part too is if we say, you know, of Adams, then we're also, you know, giving another name to the village as they come in on a county road. So, you know, signs for Blue Springs, Adams. And
the clerk was going to check with their board to make sure that they are okay with that. I said I'd offer our assistance, however, we needed to get that worked out so that we could work with Adams or any other village with that being stated.
I think the speed limit on Philly Adams Blacktop 70.
You would think that, yes, Eddie.
Hey, Eddie, you want to push that button and then say that again so we have that on record?
I think the speed limit on Philly Adams Blacktop is 70, because that's what most people go.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if Gus does it, everybody else can, right?
Yeah, right.
Gus, I think Mr. Janda's concern is Jake brakes on 41, is that 43.
And just we can address that, Mark, because we did talk about it in committee meetings. If you want to, actually, really quick, let's just switch over to Road and Bridge, because that's where
Gus. So what my question was, or what I wanted you to address was, you know, I know Mr. Janda has brought this up before, like several times, and I know you've commented on it or addressed it or whatever. On your end, when there's a Drake brake issue out there or whatever, what can or can you not do, you know, for that situation for them?
Well, in the country, it's the best we'd have is maybe destroying the peace, but then you got to have whose piece you're disturbing. That one person, we'd have to have a complaint on it. Plus, you have to have time to actually sit there and wait for it, which I don't have staff to do that. I don't know. That's a good question.
Mark and I spoke about it a little bit, and it really is going to be up to the Village of Adams in their jurisdiction if they were to pass an ordinance prohibiting Jake breaking, but then it's going to be up to local law enforcement to help enforce those local ordinances.
And then the city attorney would be the one doing that, not the county attorney.
I also spoke with Andy Carruthers about it. He was hoping that the county would take some enforcement action, but again, it falls within the Village of Adams ordinance and jurisdiction.
They have a 1 mile jurisdiction, correct?
Correct.
Thanks, Gus. That's what I was.
Getting that?
You can stay up here if you want.
No, I'm already intimidated. I'm going to sit down.
Intimidated.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I mean, it sounds.
Daryl,
you shouldn't lie.
Daryl, did you hear all that? I just want to that we discussed it.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
You know, the DOT said he'd enforce a sign out there, no problem.
I did yesterday's conversation with the village again. The clerk was going to speak with Mr. Carruthers about what we discussed. They do have, Andy, I think, was under the impression that they only had the one, or their city limits. They couldn't enforce nothing with that 1 mile jurisdiction. The city wouldn't enforce it. Local law enforcement and state law enforcement would be able to enforce that. I think they're also worried about the cost of getting it installed. There again, I assisted to pay for the sign because it's just one of those things. The state would actually be the ones in charge of installing the sign. We just had to pay for the sign.
So we, as he was saying, we discussed it at our committee meetings on Friday. And we had talked to Amanda. We were lucky she was actually there that meeting, and we were talking about the jurisdiction. Adams has a one-mile jurisdiction. It's not just city limits.
Tell me, the last 17 years, the jurisdiction goes at 1 mile, but then they'll tell me the other day that it doesn't. So
Hopefully we are on the right track now. Mark and Amanda have been talking. She spoke with their legal counsel. Mark's been speaking with the clerk. Yeah. So
if I had a paper to sign, I wouldn't have an issue with that either. You know, I just need a sign out there ready that's enforceable, you know.
Okay. Sounds good. Do you have any other questions then?
No, I guess
not. Well, Mark, if you could keep Daryl in the loop with what's going on.
We probably touch base every 3 weeks, four weeks, give or take.
Okay, sounds good. All right, with that, we'll go into Road and Bridge.
All right, we approve specs calling for bids on two box culverts projects. Approve specs calling for bids on 2026 armor coating. I think we budgeted $400,000.
With the armor coating specs, I kind of made a few little changes. In the past, county forces have went out after 7 to 14 days and broomed the gravel, and then we've always had to hire another subcontractor to come in and paint. I requested that all that be done as part of that armor coating bid, so it saves our county forces from having to go out and sweep. It is a dusty job. They have the equipment. They can come in and get it done a lot faster than what we can, and then part of that bid package would also be the striping of those roads.
And as a clarification, too, we're on a 5-year cycle, right?
5-year cycle.
So we have all the miles covered. We have every 5 years, those roads are going to get armor coated.
Talk about how many miles.
Roughly 30 miles is what I have set up for armor coating.
Asphalt crew, sealed cracks. Bridge crew, bridge maintenance. Adams Bypass and Hickory Road projects anticipated in 2029. Christ Lutheran and Odell Blacktop mill overlay anticipated in 2026.
Okay.
Emily?
Well, as you can tell, Eric is not here today, but he did ask me to go over all the grants that we have brought in so far for Road and Bridge specifically. And don't let me forget, Rex, we do need to go back into law enforcement for something that Rex has. I'm going to, like, asterisk my note here. But for the grants that we have brought in, so for that I've been working on with Road and Bridge, we have two in the last couple years from Bridge Match Program, which we are not sure yet if that's going to be funded continually. So we might be out this year. So, but we are always working on making sure that we are ready for the next application. So round 9, we had two bridges that were replaced as box culverts. Round 9, it's a 55% match up to $500,000. Only $4 million was available last year and this year. With that, we were one of, I think, 13 last year and one of 11 this year. So last year, round 9, we received $500,000. And round 10... we received $440,275. 2 years ago, I applied for the grant through CPF funding through Congressman Smith, and that was the $5.4 million that we got awarded for milling and overlaying the Christ Lutheran and then the Odell Road. And then we had Senator Fisher's grant. The CDS is now what they called it. That one was for $4.733 million, and I want to take a moment to also really thank Senator Fisher on that one. We had that. It made it through appropriations, and then they did not fund it that year, and she chose to prioritize those that had made it through the last year's appropriations to make sure that those were listed first. So she was the one that carried those through. So the $4.733 million, that one was funded at 80-20 match. So that'll pave the last 4 miles of Hickory Road, turn lanes on both sides. So the turn lane off of 77 and then turn lanes coming from both directions on 103 with overhead nighttime lighting.
Both ends.
At both ends, yes. Then we had $880,000, again an 80-20 match, and that was for the Adams Bypass. That'll create a T intersection and then pave that strip that goes, what road is that?
North on 148th.
North on 148th, that ties into Highway 41, so a lot of trucks take that. I think our average daily traffic on that was 600.
Close to 600 vehicles per day. If not, it kind of changed a little bit.
So that will be a great benefit there. The Village of Adams was very, very excited. He also wanted me to mention the other ones that I had worked on, not specifically Road and Bridge, but so $1.3 million is going to be to build the new fire hall in Claytonia, which is really, really great for them. A village of 200 trying to fund a fire hall is pretty difficult, especially when in that fire hall or that rescue department covers 90 square miles. A good portion of that is Highway 77. So they do a great service, and for a village of 200 to afford something like that is difficult. So this kind of funding makes that possible. With that, we also, with that one, worked with SEND to also get $630,000 from CBMP grants. CBDG grants. These are all running together anymore. But that was another $630,000 from the state. So we're close to about $2 million. So with a little fundraising and some additional fund dollars, we'll be able to get that project completed. And then he also brought up the ARPA. Just as a reminder, we had got $4 million in ARPA funds, and we chose to invest that into a broadband project, which totaled $13 million. So I don't like it. He made me calculate what the total dollars was that I brought in so far since I've been on the board, and it's just over $22 million.
And those two grants for the Odell and Christ Lutheran are 100% grant funded.
Yes. Yep. That one got really lucky. Came out 100% grant funded. So.
Clarification on the Hickory Road project, just so everybody understands, the turn lanes and lighting project on the east end will be at the east end of the prior project,
yes,
which will be at Highway 77 and Hickory Road intersection, which is something that's been worked on, needed, you know, between the state and us working on getting that done for several years. So that was definitely a bonus to getting that project.
And we're really lucky. I found out with this grant, we're actually going to work through the administration portion of it through NDOT. So that should be a really smooth project.
Might get done before Odell Blacktop.
Now. The other ones that we are applying for, the BIP, I still do not have a due date yet because that got extended. But we do have an application. There's 9 bridges total in that. No, it's more than 9 bridges. 9 counties total.
Counties, 13.
13 bridges, right? that one is, we're waiting for a due date, but it's ready to be applied for, and that would be 3 bridges here in Gage County. That would be the Claytonia Bridge over both of the Claytonia Creek bridges on the Claytonia DeWitt Road, as well as the Blue Springs Bridge. I think those totaled out, those will be an 80-20 match again, and the Claytonia Bridge was $3 million. I think the Blue Springs and the one over the Claytonia, the Blue Springs was $8 million, I think.
Yep.
And then the other one was another $3
million. Between those two, I believe.
$3 million each, I believe. Yeah. And then finally, the RAISE grant, that's due next week. And that would be another $25 million for, I'm really hoping we get it this time. We've came so close twice. So we are working on getting that done. That would be the 3 bridges on that road, as well as fixing that pavement, which is, what, 23 years old now, I think. So it's, we need to get that one done soon. Claytonia, do it.
What's your next project?
I just told you my next projects, Rex. I got to get through these. Yes, those are due next week. And I am going to be visiting all of our delegation in D.C. next week. So it's going to be great. I can take those thank you cards in, really let them know how much it means to us, and also have the opportunity to talk about those applications we're putting in. Anything else for Road and Bridge? If not, I got to go back quick. We have a timed event, and then don't let me forget you have something for law enforcement. Okay. All right, so we have a timed event at 9:15. We need to close, accept, reject, award the 2026 rock gravel bids. Do we have a motion to close the bids?
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. Please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Before we get into that real quick, Rex, going back into law enforcement, would you please give us an update on the auction for the guns?
Yeah, on this started when the Sheriff's Department got new guns, and there was some concerns the value was set too low on trade-in, so we chose to go through an auction house with the guns. They did 48% above what the base trade of $250 a gun was of what we were going to get on trade-in value. They averaged $368 a gun. There's only been 6 of the 18 sold. There was 18, correct us. So they're going to do another 6 in a month, and then they'll do another 6. This is a national base on the audience of the guns. They're out of Kearney. Gus found it a little challenging to bid on, but if you want your weapon, you can get it that way. This is probably considered the most fair for the taxpayer. You got market value this way.
We do auction whenever we sell any sort of surplus for anything.
We needed auction, yep. Didn't you?
I do think that came out of our office.
Yes.
That's standard practice for any surplus that we have of county property. And you said, and so those sales, you said 48% better than what we would have had for trade-in?
Correct.
So definitely better auctioned.
I think Rex has taken account about $5,000 extra on budget has come out of because there's no trade value. So it's kind of a, it sounds good, but I think the bottom end might not be quite as that.
It was the trade value itself was higher.
Yes, yes.
Through auctioning.
Correct.
So yes, while we paid more up front, we're getting more
at the bottom end.
On the bottom end.
Yeah.
So it was definitely cost effective to do that. With that, I don't want to rush you, Caleb, so I think we're going to open these bids because we have another timed event. Who wants to open? Okay, sounds good.
Should be rock.
We're going to do rock and gravel bids.
The note on here really isn't. The note that they had written on here is I'll read it, but it really doesn't. There's an optional. Unleaded 87 E15 gasoline that can be option bid, and on Sapp Brothers they had a note that E15 is a little more difficult to contract. Straight E15 is not available to contract. We have to contract 84 grade unleaded and then purchase the alcohol to make the blend themselves. I can get you a quote, but the alcohol purchase part make it difficult. And what that is that, you know, E10 is readily available. E15, in order to do that, you got to blend it and whatever. That's probably isn't going to be efficient in this process. So it's nice that they gave us the note, but that's all it was. So, yeah.
Gary, where do we refer those to? Roads Department?
Terry, I don't know that.
Or we need to, or what do we do?
I think it's pretty clear cut. I mean, okay. The price is what it is, unless Mark sees something that we haven't had any issues with fuel in the past, and you know, there's a certain level that the bids are supposed to meet, and they have up till now anyway. So I would say that we could just go ahead and
act on it.
I think we should probably just go ahead and accept and award the low bid. And I'll make that motion.
All right, moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second
by Dorn to accept the lowest bid, which was...
Oops, sorry, I got a...
Sat Brothers.
Do you need the numbers?
I need to just... okay, we have a motion by Dorn... a motion by Lytle, second by Dorn, to accept the lowest bid, which is from Sat Brothers, for the diesel fuel of 63,000 gallons at $2.558, and gas at $2.449. Anybody have any other discussion on that?
The only thing that I'll say, and I think Terry and I both have said this for probably 16 years now, you know, way back when Rex was the chairman on this board, we started bidding out the fuel, and between Terry and I, we keep saying, gosh, it would have been nice to know the money we've saved on this, and it's not as much about saving money. I mean, saving is nice, but it definitely controls your budget. You know what your price is going to be through the year. You don't have to worry about price spikes through the summer. And the secondary part of it has been that we've definitely saved money over the years. In I don't remember how long it's been, 15 or 16 years that we've done this.
And Gary, you always said, bill it out by Valentine's Day.
Yep. Yep. And it's worked. So,
Gus has the usage, the way I remember, has been about the same constant for the last 3-4 years. Is that correct?
For us?
I mean, overall, 63,000. And
when I first started, roughly 5 years ago, I did jump. But there again, it just depends on what kind of projects we have, how bad of a winter we have. In the last couple years, we've pinpointed it down to that 63,000 and 33,000 for fuel last year. I think we went over on diesel by 2,000 gallons, but it was cheaper than our bid price. And I think we went over on fuel by 500 gallons. There again, it was cheaper than our bid price. So it was a win-win, and our bid price ends December 31st. So it was just from January to when these take effect. So. Yeah.
If there's no more discussion, we'll vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Okay, so because Dawn is not here and we are all lost at the moment without her, I believe we had one resolution this year. It was the GCED funds, dedicating them to an economic development. So we're going to say that one's 2601. So the resolution for the build grant will be 2602. And then going back to approve or disapprove the resolution signing the project program agreement BL2604, which is the bridge match, will be 2603. Can we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Moved by Adams, second by Claybaugh. Any discussion? Everybody clear on the resolution number solution at this point? We're good? All right. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. All right. Now we're back on regular things, so we don't have to cut you off. Caleb, if you want to come up, Executive Director of the Gage Development Coalition, give us an update.
Good morning. I also have a visual presentation for you. Yes. Brought Deidre back. So.
Yes. I think you should be able to plug that in, and we should be able to see it, and they should be able to see it.
Okay, that's turned off. I don't know if that's just auto on, but we will find out.
We will find out.
Sorry, I'm invading a little bit of your space for this. Okay. Nothing on this end, but hopefully you see something on your end.
Nothing.
Okay.
How about we take a quick 5-minute bathroom break, and we'll see if us very technologically advanced people can figure this out, and so you guys can all see what's going on.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break at 9:40. We'll reconvene in 5 minutes.
I usually default to you if I have any IT needs.
He knows better than that. His short tenure, he already learned it.
Oh, they're making you work today, aren't they?
Yes, I will do that today.
There's a power button.
You have power on.
Take care of this technology.
It's blinking. I should have more of an idea after they have a.
Okay, well, as far as the screen to bring it up.
So I should know more after that.
On there, but you should have it on.
But it'll still be good, and we just don't know what it's going to look like yet.
You keep you around.
It might still be.
Yeah, I think that. Done.
Jacob. I only have the figure down at ground level. I said it might still be like in Jacob, but I'm not 100% sure. So I will keep you updated. But they
worst case scenario is we just show it.
Yeah. Yep, I'll get that. I can
Emily, is there anything on your end?
And then once I know for sure after the meeting next week, then I'll text you and let you know.
Sure.
So did you work on the courts? Yeah. Perfect. Ashlyn had a project that we were working on doing a whole entire facility, and I was the chair of that project.
How many courts were you thinking?
We were going to do 4 open courts, turf, a rec pool, and a competition pool. And then we have already co-opted. We have ball diamonds, so they would just fall into that umbrella. So they're in their phase 3 of it, so they're... They'll break ground the next couple years.
Yeah, now it's on the eye now.
Okay.
The Eeks people are there right now to pick up the.
But
they're, well, they're early though, so they'll be
okay. Okay.
Just right.
Yep. Leading or hurting? Good thing. Good thing.
I'm good, thank you.
I don't want to get crumbs all over on. And so next. We might have broken.
So this kept coming on to show this.
Oh,
but I, then,
that'd be a very awkward angle.
Yeah.
I was going to say, worst case scenario, I just have to Vanna White it.
I'm trying to see what they say on here to see if there's anything. That...
It says camera PC, so if we hit this button.
No.
I'm not here to help, I'm sorry. Bob Father Beckman from Daily Sun. Is it off on the phone that one time?
Yep, remember. So,
just want to give you my card.
All right, perfect, thank you.
I don't know if you need it too. But...
Thank you.
Maybe we'll have them hit that button that they hit, and then I'll hit this button over here.
I think she has to activate it again.
Yeah, I think so, because it's all a camera PC button. Yeah, I might hit that. Yeah. So. Break the courthouse and Eric and Don leave, of course. So. What time do you have to be there? 10:30?
Well, the appointment is technically at 11. He just he got done early.
Callie's not there either, is she?
Well, it's down at Main Street. And
that's right.
The keys are in my car.
Taking
I know. taking yours.
<Be like, laughs> I had to go through and undo a lot of the stuff, so yeah, I feel like.
You and the printer have a new bond.
Yeah, we really do.
On a project, and John is in Grand Island at the airport on a project. So, chasing all over.
Yep.
Emily, we might have a solution. That button you hit earlier where it had it showing, there's a button on here that switches between camera and PC, so we could click that.
So, that's document editing now. Now it's just
nope, it's green now.
Yeah. That's black again.
There's the document. Here's the presenter.
So that's the document
right here,
so you have to push the button or whatever.
Okay.
Because that one was the
acting engineer. We'll get there. If not, I can Vanna White this whole thing.
No, you're good. We're good. Okay. We got it.
Okay, now that.
Don't push
anybody
there.
Too late. Please note that I broke Don's courthouse.
Okay. He broke Don's court. All right. Are we good?
We're green.
Green? All right. All right. Let's unpause and we'll go back in. Okay. All right. We will go back into Caleb's presentation now that we've got technology working after he broke Don's courthouse.
Don's courthouse, yeah.
Okay.
It is green on our side, so I don't know.
Yep, we're sure. Good. We have green here, too.
Okay. Well, I'm going to show you. So part of the process, we had the committee meeting last Friday, and out of that came some fruitful discussion on some action items, which one came out as having an app that could be used for tourism but have a dual role for constituent services, like very basic constituent service. So before the committee gets together, and we're going to wait until Emily's back from D.C., we're going to get together and go through some of the things that we want before we meet with app developers and say, spend that usual hour to 2 hours with kind of not a thought behind where we're going. So it's trying to organize the thoughts before we actually sit down with them and say, here's what we've decided on, what we want, and have a more crisp timeline and also not let the taxpayer meter just run. So part of that is I went through and leveraged AI, so I'm using Gemini, and made a mock version of an app so that way you could see at least what it looks like, and then we could take a little bit of direction from the larger council than have some direction for that ad hoc committee to move forward. So that's what I'm trying to show is the app, so I don't know if we can make that work. But it's in a working state to show. So, yes, we're able to present now.
Right. Is it green screen there?
Yes.
It's still green. Is it on your place? What is it supposed to show us?
It's going to show you that. Okay. Sure. Put it down.
Like so that I can see it through the camera.
This is going to be fun. I can definitely try it. This is going to be
you can unplug it.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
The document
here. We apparently really
stink it. My God,
we have
this all.
Let's see if I can turn the camera off. Yeah, you want to do that. Okay.
Which was the button?
Camera PC is what we had. PC is what we had.
There.
Okay. Oh.
I think it's this way.
There you go. Okay. All right.
We're
getting there. Okay. We got something.
You want me to hold it?
Yes.
Oh, you can.
Okay. So part of the... thanks, everyone, for the exercise in futility today. So part of the of this was is let's make some type of workable version of the app so then we can then take this and then, the committee then can have something to look at and then go, oh, later let's change this or... Let's have this so then we have our notes ready for app development. So part of it is, since it's tourism-based with the secondary goal being constituent services, we gave it the name which we decided during that committee meeting real quick was Gauge Connect. And so we added the tagline, the good life, since that's the state's tourism motto. So part of it is this would be your home screen of what you would see. So if you're going to have...
well, Don or anyone in the courthouse or a public official that needs to be able to issue either a public emergency or just a notification, being able to silo that so that I don't have access to that, but then we have access to the community updates and be able to post events on behalf of the other village boards and city councils. So this is just an example of what it would look like. Your most urgent alert would appear at the top in your red. Your information ones from the courthouse would say whatever it's going to say. We could also look at some grants. Some grants have the capability of giving you dollars if you make it accessible to all citizens. So just as an example, it'd be able to then, you could hit it and translate it to a different language if needed. So so the capability's there. We thought from a tourism perspective to have a spotlight. So if you're going to try to target audiences outside of Gage County that are coming to visit, we can do the campaign of rather than saying, come to our event, come to our event, then it's download this app, download this app. So have a tourism spotlight. You could open it up, show, you know, what do I need to, what is the must visit place? So we just have this as an example. So, and then quick access is where this starts to merge constituent service and tourism a little more. We decided on naming this bottom one towns, and so your community's in here. They're currently in alphabetical order, so if you click on any of them, we'll click on Beatrice since we're here. Just a little quick tidbit, founded, what its population is, its zip code, because some people just suck at zip codes, so that's just a great quick reference, and then be able to have your quick community resources if you need to get in touch with that, try to put all your stuff all in one place, but then have your upcoming stuff, and this would mirror every, or this would be, I don't know what I'm trying to say, it would work to whatever location, so if Beatrice is hosting an event, it wouldn't say that in Wymore or Blue Springs. It would say whatever Wymore or Blue Springs is doing. So so you would have that with the title civic, so you know that's more on the constituent side, your citizens that live here, and then your social, which we can change and be like more of a tourism thing. So then that way that's there. The add to calendar button is really important, so it can be exported to your iPhone calendar, your Android calendar, Google, Microsoft even. So just having that option there to make it as accessible as possible. So and then it just would go through here. One of the cool ideas it gave, the AI gave a really good suggestion. It can leverage AI itself within the app, so we can have it confined. So if you know nothing about Gage County and you're here visiting, you can ask the app. The app AI assistant is named Gage, and so you could ask Gage, and it can either do this. I'm not going to hit this button because it broke the app last time, so you can hit it, and it will give you an agenda. So if you're like, I'm here in Gage County today, and I want to explore historic sites, you could put that in, punch that in, and then it would give you a suggested itinerary. Be here at this time in this location. Be here. So it could help generate some more stay time in the county. And then we added a county calendar. So things that live on the community calendars, we could also co-op them over so they just live in one big massive calendar, and you should be able to just go in, see what it is, have the ability to put an agenda if you really wanted, or put an event flyer, so then you have that and you can add it to your calendar, and then move that route. This is the Gage AI, so you could just ask that question that you need. So something in that realm to be helpful. The way to access the admin piece, you either have the partner access here or you have it up here. And then it gives you the pins won't live here, obviously. That's just to show what's going on. So you could have, for example, we'll do the member pin. And then it puts you into the administrative console. And so this is what I would see versus the public side. The public side has public information or public emergency, color-coded. But you could type your title in, and if you have your title, you type in what you're going to do. You can even have it auto-draft you what you're trying to say, and then you just have to go plug and play, trying to make it as convenient as possible. And then you could publish the content, and then if you need to go in and delete something, obviously you have the ability to do that too. So that's kind of where it is. And then it, just to make it seem fresh and that the app is also being updated, sometimes just a change of color helps doing some of that research. So this is currently linked to your equinoxes and your solstices. So, and it goes by season. So right now this is the winter look because we're still in February. And then it would change to spring, summer, and then fall. So, like, little things that don't need to, not like the main focus of the app, but gives it a little color at least, so it looks like it's relevant to the time period it's in. So, but that's kind of the rundown of it at least. So,
I think the only thing, I mean, we talked about this is a great setup to get into all those things. One thing that I saw here is I think on the tabs on the bottom, I would separate civic and social.
Yeah.
Make it easier because yeah. If somebody's looking for social, I doubt they're going to look for when the next meeting day is.
Sure.
Just to yeah. Kind of separate those a little bit, but no, I like the concept. Yeah. Really hammer it out. I think that's what they want when you do a
meeting with a app developer, is like they want this layout. They want like, okay, if you click here, what do you want it to show?
Yeah.
And so this is a great start.
And then part of it being, we even have the ability to export the code, so they have something to work with. If we're like, we like it how it looks. Now make it actually work. So so I've now I'm going to add app developer to my title too. So there's that piece. So yeah, we'll have to figure that out. I know it sucks for Eric that he's not here today, but we went with Gauge Connect versus Eric's app. So
yeah.
I know he's very big on that.
He'd be really bummed to know that we're not gonna put his face on the picture of the app.
We can put him in this little bubble right here at the top. So yep. But other than that, so that's what we got. So if the council wants to see any notable changes, we have Emily's comment and she's already on the committee, so we'll be able to work with her more closely. But is there anything you think it's missing or do you think this would even be helpful? Because part of it, once we be able to roll it out, the supervisors become the cheerleaders of it. You get to go and say, hey, this is our new app. Download it. And we go to all the councils, ask the councils to download the app, share the app. And so we're then doing a one big unified marketing push to everyone download Gauge Connect. So
I think it's all these apps are like I was telling in the committee meeting, I really like the text messages for me. So like for eEnergy, I signed up for their daily text message, so I know what closing markets are, and that works for me. Like you can set your push notifications for whatever events or things that you want to know about. So if I want to know Gauge County, we can turn on Gauge County, or we can turn on, people really want to know when the city council meetings are. You can choose which notifications that you get, I think, with this. So like for me, in this day and age, I think there's a lot of people that like the handiness of something like this. And also, we also talked about the opportunity to put community events on as well.
Yeah.
So, like, I know Claytonia Days is coming up in July, so we can put those on there and, like, break down the different things that are
so
happening.
It would be the same as, because it's good to have it in both places. So, thought process is you just make this a master calendar. But,
yeah.
So everything is on the table, but then you could go through and if you're actually specifically trying to, oh, it's here, I'm going to do it. So
maybe on the calendar you can put, you know, like when you search things, you can filter. Mm-hmm. You can maybe filter your calendar that's on there.
Yep. I think that has a list. Well, that has Find a Town. This one has, no, yeah. It doesn't. So, yeah.
Like if you had like a calendar of March, and then you could filter the events that are in March to what you're interested in.
That'll be the real app developer's job, but
not ours. But I mean, those are things we'll have to talk about on what we want them to accomplish with the app. But I think this is a great opportunity.
And then when we get closer, then I think it turns into, if we're going to do a bid process and how we want to do that, what funds we're really going to access.
Probably a request for proposals.
Yeah.
We'll have to do something. I have a couple that we've used in other situations that we could modify to.
Okay.
Work with this.
I looked up the one that you suggested, and I found two other, one out of Omaha, one out of Lincoln. So
okay.
Two. So well, perfect.
Does anybody have anything else, suggestions, ideas?
We'll keep the Eric faces to a very, very small few, just zero. Yeah.
We want to bring people in, not scare them.
Correct. This is a tourism thing. It's fun when he's not here. You can just hound
on.
You can
give him all sorts of crap. Although we do that very well when he's here, too.
It's very true.
Yeah.
So, well, perfect.
All right.
Thanks, Deidre.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming in. Thanks for giving us a start visual for that.
Absolutely. So I'm not going to touch any technology, or I'll break it more. So
I think you're good. We're off. Our Gary's our temporary. There you go. Our temporary tech person. Should put Terry in charge. Maybe we would have it figured out. How to use it.
Yes.
I think it'd be also really handy, side note, to remember, is be able to turn people's on and off, so when somebody forgets, it can just be done. Mm-hmm. All right. Up next on the agenda, Davis Design. If you guys want to come up, only one today.
Only one today. I do not want to be on camera, but
you do not have to be on camera, so just on audio.
That is fine, and
but,
this is still active. So
Christian
Petrick. Yeah, Petrick. Good morning, Christian Petrick. I'm an architect and principal at Davis Design. I'm here representing a team that consists of Davis Design Trainer Architects and NAI FMA Realty. Davis is out of Lincoln, Nebraska. We're a 56-person full-service architecture and engineering firm. And our teammate, Trainer, is out of Topeka, Kansas, and Kansas City and other offices. They're a national firm. They're our detention design expert on our team. Trainer has designed over 1,000 detention projects nationwide that provide more than 15,000 county jail beds. NAI FMA is on our team. They haven't started yet, but they will be involved in helping us locate candidate sites for a new jail facility. They will help us evaluate the potential purchase price for those property and identify any encumbrances that candidate sites may have. When we get to that point, we'll engage NAI FMA privately. In April of last year, our team responded to the county's RFP to study and design a potential multi-custody replacement facility for the jail. It took until July of last year to come to an agreement. We reached a partial design contract to do planning, programming, and bond support for the county. The idea is that we would determine the ideal size, the budget, and help with that bond fundraising. And then if the bond is successful, then we would amend that design contract and do a full AE design contract if the project is fortunate enough to go forward. Beginning in September of last year, we began holding monthly working meetings with the jail committee. We held four working sessions with that committee approximately once a month. And then in addition, we had a site tour. We began with that committee by looking back at a needs assessment study that was completed in 2024 by others. That study was, if you've all read it, it's over 100 pages. It looked at county population forecasts for 20, 30, 40 years, as well as detention history and forecasting potential detention housing needs for the county. It also identified a space program need for a potential replacement facility. And then we validated that space program and came up with two design options. One is for a 71-bed facility that would be approximately 50,000 square feet. And the second would be a 108-bed facility, roughly 56,000 square feet. And that space program, what that is a list of all the rooms and spaces and their approximate size that gives us that total. And then ultimately that would be our guide for moving into design and creating the actual building plans. But at this time, we have not determined exactly which option or somewhere in between that we intend to proceed with, nor do we have an actual cost estimate total. But based on our team's experience, we do believe a jail facility with the expected construction type would cost somewhere between $600 and $650 per square foot in construction costs. By comparison, the 2024 study also recommended a 71-bed facility of 50,500 square feet, and at that time they quoted $610 a square foot for construction, or roughly a $31 million construction project. To do further comparison, in 2009, Gage County had a bond vote, if everyone remembers, that sought $11.4 million in funding for a jail replacement facility. That bond failed. This, I think, demonstrates that the need is not new. It is not going away, yet the cost continues to grow and grows every year. A little history. The current jail was a house that was built in 1917. It was added on to the east and west sides in 1977. That gives you a facility that is in some parts over 110 years old and at best 50 plus years old. It is not all original, but some things like the boiler, certainly the structure, much of the plumbing systems are indeed original electrical systems that are 50 years old. Much of that has parts that are irreplaceable, out of production, essentially unrepairable. The facility is rated by state standards to house 30 beds. The average daily population last year was 35. And that total building is 10,800 square feet. In addition to jail housing, it serves home for all of the sheriff's other office functions. I mentioned the 30-bed rating and 35 average daily population. That is just what's on site. Currently, all females are transported out of the county for housing, as well as all juveniles and numerous males daily. Because of the overcrowding and tight conditions, the facility does not allow for separation and control of the maximum, medium, and minimum security classifications that the detainees meet. So it leads to less than ideal and potentially unsafe housing conditions, both for the detainees and for the staff. Typically, more than 8 males and sometimes up to 15 detainee holds are outsourced every day, taken to Kansas or Blair. The average direct cost paid to those agencies is about $110 per day per detainee, but with indirect costs such as transportation, transport escort time, and vehicle expenses, that expense roughly doubles. I believe earlier in the meeting, you approved a $13,000 expenditure for this month or the last month for that outsourced housing. And so that's a recurring expense that is ongoing. So I stated that we haven't designed a building yet. So what have we done in those 4 or 5 meetings? We've had lots of good, valuable learning discussion, both for our design team and for your committee members who've attended. We identified the goals and priorities of the committee and the county, and we believe priority or chief among those are the economics and the budget of the project. The potential liability of the county for safety, safety of the staff and safety of the detainees, and then a potential location where a replacement jail facility might be built. Like I mentioned, we confirmed and updated that space needs program to identify what the building needs to contain. We spent a lot of time discussing potential relocation sites, one of which includes the Dempster Industrial Site, as well as other privately held locations, and just a theoretical ideal site. And we talked about the pros and cons of all of those. Some specific privately owned sites have been identified, but no outreach has been made to those owners. Ultimately, we plan to create a much longer list than what we have today of candidate sites. We'll summarize those with a spreadsheet with an acreage, a appraisal value, or a potential cost to purchase value.
Sure.
Our ideal site would be about 5 to 7 acres if we proceed with a building in that 55,000 square foot range. We did discuss reusing the existing jail site. That site, including the storage facility north of the alley, is less than 1.5 acres. We believe it is possible to use all of that property. It would be a multi-story facility. There would be other compromises required just in terms of timing the construction and the demolition and a temporary shutdown. There's operational inefficiencies with that multi-story solution. There's additional expenses to construct a multi-story solution, and there would be additional expenses to work within a confined site, to work within essentially the downtown property limits. Contractor access and convenience is just not there. But we did spend time discussing how that might work if that was determined to be the most palatable location.
I think it also didn't allow room for expansion.
It doesn't allow room for expansion as well. In addition, we discussed the idea of renovating and repairing and working within the limits of the existing building, or potentially adding on to that, and the feasibility of dealing with the existing infrastructure that's there, the limits of what that building could accomplish. So that was one thing we discussed. We also took about a third of the committee and the sheriff, we took to Salina, Kansas, and we toured the Saline County Jail there that our teammate Trainer was the architect for and familiar with. We wanted to give the committee an idea of what a modern jail should look like, should contain, how it should function. Most of the committee, the sheriff is knowledgeable, but most of the committee are not jailers, are not detention employees, and don't live in that world daily. So we wanted to show them what a new project could look like and give them some inspiration. We discussed potential project financing. That's been a big discussion point. We discussed why the previous bond failed and the perceptions of the community at that time to better address plans going forward if for a bond campaign. We discussed the tolerance of today's voters in the current economy to try and establish a benchmark of what a tolerable bond value could be. We discussed some alternative fundraising mechanisms, such as a sales tax. We also discussed the possibility of doing a private lease-to-purchase arrangement with a private entity. However, only the state of Nebraska can do that through the Department of Corrections. Current state statutes do not allow counties to do a lease-to-purchase arrangement with a private entity. So we believe a bond is the most likely financing mechanisms. We talked about potential time frames for how long a bond should last, but we have not determined any final values or dollar figures to propose. And lastly, we spent a lot of time discussing using some open house forums or what we call town halls as a way to work towards public awareness and gain support for that potential bond and enable a jail replacement to occur. We are currently planning the first in a series of those town halls that would happen over the next 6 to 8 months. We plan on holding two events, one on March 4th and one on March 6th at the high school, to reintroduce this project to the public. The needs of this project and get the public feedback. We intend to do a formal survey at the town hall. We have created a list of questions that we're going to record answers to. We'll provide a link to a website where users can use their phone and just answer multiple choice questions, and we'll record those. We plan on showing some walkthrough videos that were recorded inside the existing facility to show the public the condition of the existing facility to further demonstrate the need. But mostly we're going to be there, at least at this first town hall, to listen and learn, to be prepared. We want to find out what the concerns are, what we need to address in a bond campaign, and get some idea, again, of a tolerable dollar value that is feasible and seems likely to pass. We know that it's not viable to shoot for the moon because the dollar value would be so astronomical that failure would be likely. So we want to hit that sweet spot in whatever value we come up with. We do intend to begin advertising that town hall starting next week. And then ideally we would have follow-up town halls approximately every 2 months leading up to November. We haven't formally applied to the election commissioner yet to be on that November ballot, but depending on the feedback and how the committee feels after the first one or two town halls. That would be the planned course of action would be to get on that November general election ballot for some funding setup. So that is where we are at with your committee to date. We certainly, having been in the facility a couple times myself now, and certainly see the need. We know, obviously, the county's been working on this since before 2009, so many of you all know it as well. But that's where we're at this time around. So, but glad to be on board to help. Any questions from anyone else?
Well, I want to thank you for coming in today, kind of giving an overview of where we've been. With that date, with our media here, they can make sure that we note that those town halls are going to be the March 4th and March 6th at 7 at the Beatrice High School in the auditorium. We are wanting...
Avalon Center.
Well, we are wanting to make sure that we are getting public input as part of this process. I want to make sure we're very clear on this. We don't really have a plan yet. We want to know what the public wants. So we're going to show them the study that we did, whether we use the 20-year or the 30-year chart on choosing how many beds. Is it with the COVID dip or without the COVID dip? And then allow the survey at the end for the public, once they have the information, to let us know what they think is appropriate. And then once we do have that, we can work through a cost analysis, whether, you know, like do a build versus a no build scenario. So we can see, you know, what our expenses are going to be if we don't build, like what are we looking at for funds there? What is it going to cost to house out, transport, our liability issues on those things? And then if we do build, then what's that cost? So there's definitely pros and cons. There's a lot more involved in the cost analysis after, but we can't really do that until we know what the public is wanting to see from that project. So that's what he was talking about with that, where the videos is going to show what the jail is and what it looks like currently. We're going to kind of walk through some of the issues that we see, and then, like I said, go through those charts. And then at the end, we'll have a survey that will allow the public to let us know what they expect or what they would like to see, whether it's the Dempster site or a Greenfield site or how many beds or juveniles, if that's going to be part of the conversation, just kind of giving us input so that we can go back. So while this won't be a lot of answers, we'll give as many as we can. We don't have a bunch of the cost answers until we know what to base it on to begin with.
A lot of it is education. Some of the cost numbers that we're talking about seem very high for a county that has a $11 or $12 million annual budget. That we want to educate people that doing nothing, there is a cost. Doing nothing is not doing nothing. There is a cost to that. There's that monthly outsourcing housing cost that I mentioned. The existing facility is not going to continue to stand and operate without investment. Whether it's monthly repairs or major infrastructure, deferred maintenance projects that need to occur, but there will be repair costs that are incurred. All that continues to grow. The longer it gets deferred, the more expensive the repairs get, the more expensive a replacement building gets. Doing nothing sounds like the cheapest option, but it is not without some cost. So we want to raise awareness of that, too.
The only other thing that I would add is, and Christian's covered it well, and you had a nice little add into it. Your cost numbers that you're talking about, you've talked about the controllable parts. One of the uncontrollable parts is that, and we got to look at a cost analysis of that as well is that we currently are operating under a grandfather clause. And at some point, that facility becomes not operational at a state level. And we no longer are covered by that. Now, instead of 10 to 15 people being sent out of county, you're looking at everybody going out of county. And at that point, you would have to build you'd have to at least have a holding facility. And so that's an uncontrollable that, you know, at some point we might have to consider. And definitely in our cost analysis, we're going to have to look at those options in case they were, you know, were something we'd run into.
There's definitely going to be a lot of work once we know what we're going to be dealing with for figuring out all those things. I mean, even employees, you know, those employees that we can retain here and live in the county also have a benefit versus housing them outside. You know, they pay taxes here, go to school here, buy clothes and things like that. Those all have some sort of a value added when you can retain the employees. And so there's a lot of pieces that play in. And just so people are aware too, like this isn't, as Gary mentioned, doesn't go away. If we don't do anything, we're going to have to house somewhere. By statute, we're required to do those things. So it's just, what is that cost, and is it cost effective to build?
Yeah, the outsourcing, the sheriff's first option right now is to go to Kansas as essentially his cheapest option. There are times when the Kansas facility is at capacity and they reject him, and then he has to look elsewhere to Blair or even further away. That's at the numbers that he's exporting today. Like Emily said, if the county wanted to pursue 100% outsourcing, that doesn't make the facility go away. If there's an arrest overnight, they have to do intake and processing at a facility, and they have to hold them. You know, if there's a bond hearing, sometimes that can be more than 24 hours. So you need a facility to house short term. But short term, you know, if it's over 24 hours, you have to provide a meal. So now that short-term facility has to have a kitchen. So it doesn't mean there is no building. Like I said, the building is also the sheriff's office for their over-the-road patrols and their investigators. The sheriff's office performs over 1,000 fingerprinting services to county citizens for various background checks or job applications. Mm-hmm. All of that walk-in traffic still needs to occur somewhere, or the county loses that service. So even if it isn't a long-term housing facility, some facility is required. So.
And there is increased liability risk, too, when we're traveling with inmates over a distance, which was what we would be doing if we were to house elsewhere as well.
There's travel liability. There's also liability that, like Emily or Gary said, they're grandfathered in today. There are known deficiencies that have been identified by authorities that the state corrections, as well as the state fire marshal, have identified deficiencies in the building that need to be addressed. Just simply cannot be accomplished in the confines of the existing facility.
Also to note, too, if we look at the area jails around us, I mean, they're all, I think, 70s, 80s. Mm-hmm. So we'd also have the opportunity to, instead of outsourcing, what would that look like to be that person for other counties locally?
We do think that... you know, the existing building is 100 to 50 years old. A new facility would be built within expected 50-year lifespan. That needs assessment study looked at those 20, 30, and 40-year forecasts for county population. I talk about 30 to 35 beds today, but again, without females, with the outsourcing, the current need is much higher than that. But then if we start to think about populations and trends 30 and 40 years into the future and a 50-year building, there would potentially on, you know, day one may open with available beds that you could become the outsource intake location, and there would be some cost offsetting that the county could recoup that way.
We will never make money operating in a jail. Never, ever are we going to make money operating a jail. The best case scenario is, can we break even? And if it's housing, you know, inmates from the counties next to us, is it, you know, what does that look like? And after we have these public input meetings, we'll be able to do that cost benefit analysis.
Yeah, we wouldn't advertise it as county profit. We would just advertise it as cost offsetting.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you for coming in.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Does anybody else have anything for open session? All right. With that, we're going to ask for a motion to go into closed session at 10:31 on the clock. Necessary for the protection of public interest or for the protection of needless injury for the reputation of an individual to discuss potential litigation and contract negotiations. Moved by Rick or Adams, second by